Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we intentionally stop to reflect upon the readings appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, that it would come into your life and that it would bear much fruit. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus and focusing upon it, and we continue that this day. I encourage you to take some time to read the whole letter so you can see it in its totality and how it kind of flows together, rather than just the individual verses we're looking at this day. I pray that this would be a helpful thing for you in your walk with Christ. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us in this world in all its need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The reading appointed for this day is from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. The author writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it was said he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickeries, by their craftiness and deceitful schemings, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. The word of the Lord. As we come to this fourth chapter in the letter to the church of Ephesus, it switches a little bit. The beginning part really kind of set a foundation, a theological basis, right? Being rooted and grounded in love. God's plan through Jesus Christ for the salvation of all people. And now, the author turns a little bit and talks about what does this mean for daily life? How do we live out being rooted and grounded in love? How do we live out a life of faith? He begins, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, acknowledging they were in prison, and the notion of being captive to God, says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Part of it is he saying, it's not the words that we say that's always the most important. We may have all the correct doctrine. We may understand everything perfectly, which we know we don't because we're not Jesus. But he's saying it's more than just the words. Live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That we're called to walk the talk. When we talk about our faith, How do we live it out in daily life? How do we live it out with our interactions with those around us? We see all kinds of people on TV, politicians, sports people, celebrity. They always talk about giving praise to God. But how does it get lived out day by day? How does it get lived out in the way that they treat others? How does it get lived out in the way that they live out their life? This letter calls us to a higher standard, to say it's not just about saying the words. It's easy to say the words. It's easy to praise God. But how do we live that life that's worthy of the calling? And it really sets the bar pretty high. Think about this. This life that we should live is one that's lived with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think this is a message we need to hear in our world today, particularly as we get closer and closer to the election. You don't see a lot of humility and gentleness. You don't see a lot of bearing with one another in love or making efforts to maintain unity. What you see is name-calling, demonizing. What you see is attempting to puff oneself up, to put others down and degrade each other. This letter calls us to say, no, that's not what we're called to do. That's not how we're called to live this life. But how do we live in gentleness, with patience, with humility, with not thinking ourselves as better than others, but seeing all people as people who are worthy? And that transcends beyond nationalities. This letter isn't written to the Church of America to say, oh, we treat all Americans the same. No, we treat all people the same. People from countries we may not think about, people from, you know, places south of the border that we, you know, some demonize. How do we see them not as somebody we keep out, but as a child of God? And work to try to say, wait a minute, I may not have all the answers. Do we need a secure border? Yes. But how do we treat people with dignity? How do we look at people going, wait a minute, they want a life like we have? How do we balance these things? How do we come with humility and gentleness as we wrestle? And even when we don't come to the same conclusion, to be able to bear with one another in love and maintain some kind of unity. To go, yeah, maybe you're right on this, but what about this part of it? How do we do that? This letter really calls us to a different standard, one in which we don't see much in our world. And then it goes on. After he talks about here, this is part of it, right? And part of it is we need to live this life with humility and gentleness, with unity. Because after all, there is one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father God of us all. Right? That part of it is we see that we are all one in Christ. We are children of God. And how do we work with one another? How do we see one another as brothers and sisters, as siblings in Christ? And then it goes, and each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. This notion of going, all people have been given some kind of measure of God's gift. Notice it says, each of us was given grace according to the measure. All of us have gifts. And then he goes on and talks about part of what it means to be one body in Christ, to be the people of God, is for all of us to use those gifts, the differing gifts we have, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, right? Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, that we all have these different gifts and we use them for this purpose. And this is the thing I think that gets left out some. We go, oh, we all have gifts and we need to use them. Great. But why do we use them? This is what I think is most important. We use them for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That to me goes back to that sense of humility, living a worthy life of the calling to which we have been called. That it's not my gift is important and I've got to use it, so I puff myself up. I make myself more important than others. No, my gift is one of the gifts amongst many. So in humility, I use my gift not to lift me up, but I use my gift for the building up of the body of Christ. That we may be one and work together. Because when we use our gifts properly, when we're using it for ministry, when we're using it for the building up of others, here's what happens. As each part is working properly, it promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. That all those gifts together come together, not to go, hey, we're right and you're wrong. But it calls us to say, we use these gifts so we go out into the world in love, to share Christ's love and all that he has done for the sake of the world. I think these words are so important today. And how do we live them out? Too often, we see people who promote their faith, but then their actions go contrary to at least what this is saying. As we live in humility and gentleness, bearing with one another in love, working together so that all the parts work together, not to achieve power or control, not to achieve what we think is the right thing, but it works together so it results in love. Love for others, love for God, that others would know of the mightiness and the mighty acts of the one who has created us, redeemed us, and sanctifies us to go forth to be the body of Christ, working together in love. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, send your Spirit down upon us to encourage and empower us to live a life worthy of the calling. Grant us humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing one another in love. May these attributes guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions, day in and day out, so that through this witness, all may know of your power and might, and this would help us change our culture and transform the way we respond and deal with one another in our world today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.